We're starting now Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Bez Hashem. Since you're familiar with Rosh Hashanah in general, I'm not going to give a big hakdama like I've done in the previous Masechtas. The name Rosh Hashanah itself, of course, means head of the year, is a rabbinic appellation. The Torah itself refers to what we call Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, as Zichron Trua, like a, whatever that translates, and a memory of Trua, like blowing the shofar, or Yom Trua, this the day of blowing the shofar. That's the essence of the day. The Torah describes it. There's no mention of Rosh Hashanah, and as we'll actually see in our Mishnah, it's the first Mishnah here, the Torah has a number of different first days of the year, depending on which side they're talking about. In any case, the Masechta itself, the structure also is fairly simple. The first two, roughly speaking, the first two prakim out of four deal with Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new moon. Nothing at all to do with the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, so we'll actually not discuss that too much. And the second two out of the four deal with basically the mitzvah of shofar. Right? What's a kosher shofar and how to blow a shofar and the prayers that go with the shofar and so on. That's the whole Masechta. If you want a little more detail, the first two Mishnayos, which we'll see today, Bez Hashem, discuss Rosh Hashanah in general, so we actually will talk about Rosh Hashanah today. Then they depart from Rosh Hashanah to just Kiddush HaChodesh. And then the third parak, the first Mishnah, still hasn't finished with shofar yet, a little strangely. And then from the second Mishnah, the third parak begins shofar, Rosh Hashanah in earnest. So as we'll learn, today we'll cover Rosh Hashanah, Bez Hashem, the holiday, and then after that we'll go into Kiddush HaChodesh for a few days. You'll see, probably not today, tomorrow. Tomorrow, just to let you a heads up, I'm going to give a Hakdama to Kiddush HaChodesh, which is quite astronomically heavy. There's quite a lot of astronomy involved, so I'll try to explain what's going on there. Clearly, Bez Hashem. Yeah, I'd like to get I'm bringing a pen tomorrow. And I actually wrote some pictures. I wrote my astronomy books from college, so we'll see how. Just show you some pictures. And you'll be good. What? we can submit for credits. All right. So, but for today we're not there yet. Today we're going to start Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah says Arba Roshei Shanim Hem. There are four New Years. Just like in the as we're perhaps accustomed to, and if you grew up in America, of course, New Year's is January 1. But then the school year begins on the, whatever it is, the Monday after Labor Day, September the 3rd or whatever it is. And in England, you have the tax year begins April 1st. Like, you have different, you know, many corporate entities, you know, have like July, you know, June 31st is the end of their fiscal year, exactly. So it's a similar idea. Judaism, the Torah has different kinds of cutoff dates where new things begin, new years begin. So there are four. Now, four means there are four different dates on the calendar. As we'll see in a second, we'll have to come back to it, the Mishnah actually lists essentially five dates. So we'll have to address why the Mishnah says there are four Rosh Hashanahs when indeed the Mishnah lists five Rosh Hashanah. But in any case, the first then is the Echad B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan. That is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. It's the new year for Malachim, for kings. This is referring to Jewish kings. the Nafka Mina we're talking about now, when you date contracts, so the you would date the contract when the Jews are under Jewish kings, which is sometimes, not for a long time, but they would date the shtar, the contract, based on the year of the king's reign. In other words, our custom today, of course, is a date back to Brias Olam, right? We date from 5770, whatever it is. But in those days, you'd say it's the second year of King Hezekiah's rule, whatever it be. So that means we didn't, to avoid confusion, they started the king's, let's call it fiscal year, for lack of a better translation in English, but the king's new count of years based on the first day of Nisan. Meaning, for example, if the king took office in the middle of Adar, which is the month that precedes Nisan, so if first of Nisan comes, you would date the shtar, the first of Nisan, of the second year of the king's reign, even though he's been in office for argument's sake, 15 days, whatever the story is. So there's no minimum amount, even one day before. When the first of Nisan comes, that'll become the second year of the king's reign, and that's how you count. So that's the Nafka Mina. The reason why it's important is because when you date contracts, let's talk about shtar chov, that means, you know, debt instruments, debt, IOUs and stuff like that. So the order of precedence in terms of your ability to collect on the debt is based on, you know, I don't call first come, first serve, but the older loans have priority. In other words, if I loaned to Yonah, and I said, here, you can get IOU. I give him an IOU $100, and I give it to him in the state of today. And then I borrow from John another $200, and I say, IOU dated tomorrow. So since John's contract is dated by tomorrow's date instead of today's date, so then it'll be subordinate to the previous loan. In other words, so Yonah, if I only have $100 to go, Yonah will collect, not John. So if you predate Shtar Muktam, a predated Shtar, is invalid according to Torah law. We saw Machlokas, it's invalid according to Torah law. I don't get into more than that right now. So that's why you need to know the date, and that's what's relevant, which year you do it to. Okay. Fine. That's the first. The second one. Vila Regalim. So now, the way it reads in the Mishnah, it sounds like the first of Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. The Emes is not exactly true. This date is going to be the Pesach, which will be the 15th of Nisan. And the story is like this, that the Torah gives a probe. If a person makes a neder, that he'll bring a korban, whether it's a neder, you know, he says that Harei Alai Ola, or it's a specific nedava, Harei Zu, either way, he's now saying, I'm committing to bring an animal, it's a korban, to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Torah says, Lo Sa'achar L'Shalmo, don't delay in paying your debt to Hashem. So there's a law in the Torah called Bal Ta'acher, not to delay in delivering what you promised you'd not to delay. Bal Ta'acher, don't delay your commitment. So when have you delayed it? Obviously, if you're sitting in Beit Shemesh, you know, and it's, you know, there's no, you're not going to the Beis Hamikdash anytime soon. So you say, when I go to the Beis Hamikdash or whatever, I'm committing to bring this animal as a korban, or I'm going to bring a korban, a particular ola. So when has it gone too long that, you know, you violated Bal Ta'acher, you've waited too long? So it's actually Machlokas Tanaim. This Tana here, holds, this is Reb Shimon, as in Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, it was Kevin we davened that yesterday morning. His shita is that to be over Bal Ta'acher, you have to miss three regalim, a whole year's worth, and it has to be three regalim in order. The first of the three regalim is Pesach. So the clock, in other words, if, for example, what that means, in other words, according to Reb Shimon, is you could pass through three or four or five regalim before you're over Bal Ta'acher. If I make a commitment to the beginning of Nisan, so then Pesach will pass, I didn't make a korban, then Shavuos will pass, and then Sukkos will pass. When Sukkos is passed, I'm over Bal Ta'acher, because three of regalim have passed in order. But if, for argument's sake, that in the in the summer, say today, if I make a commitment to bring a korban and neder, so then the first thing that would pass would be Sukkos. But that wouldn't start the clock ticking. According to Reb Shimon, it would wait till then Pesach would come, and now the clock starts, and then Shavuos, and then Sukkos. After four regalim, I'd be over Bal Ta'acher. So he holds that the clock starts with a full cycle, starting with Nisan, and the Badak, actually it's Tesvav, it's the 15th of Nisan. So that's why that's this mission here. So now we've got two different dates for Rosh Hashanah. A Rosh Hashanah that starts on Aleph Nisan for kings, and now on Tezvav, the 15th of Nisan, when it comes to Bal Ta'acher, I'm not delaying to bring your korban. Now, just keep in mind something, that Rav Meir disagrees with Rav Shimon, and Rav Meir holds that you're over Bal Ta'acher after even one regel. If I make a commitment today to bring an Ola, and comes Sukkos, and there's a Beis Mikdash, and I fail to bring my Ola that I committed to bring, I'll be over Bal Ta'acher then and there, according to Rav Meir. So why is that relevant? Because that means that Rav Meir doesn't hold of this Rosh Hashanah. He holds there's no such thing as Rosh Hashanah when it comes to Bal Ta'acher, because as soon as any regel passes and you didn't bring it as you said you would, you've now delayed, you've gone too far, you're over the love of delaying. And therefore, Rav Meir is going to be now missing one Rosh Hashanah. Just keep that in mind for a second. Okay? Fine. The third is the first of Elul. The Echad be'Elul, on the first day of Elul, the month that precedes Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah l'maaser behema. It's the Rosh Hashanah for tithing of your animals. Okay? The Torah says that you have to tithe all your newborn animals. The way it works is of your flock and of your cattle and of your sheep and goats. So let's say, for example, you have born to you 15 sheep this year. So you'll put them all in a corral and with a little doorway, and they'll walk out of the doorway and you'll count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. When number 10 walks through the gate, you'll take like a red long paintbrush and you'll dab it with red paint, and that'll mark it. That's the 10th one. That's going to be your Maaser Behema. Okay? The last five, of course, will pass through, and there'll never be a second. If you had 25, you'd be number 10, number 20, and so on. Now, we learn out Maaser Behema, it's connected, it's hukash, exegetically connected to Maaser Dagan of tithing of grain, which you've learned that we've seen in the past before. Now, just like in grain, you can't tithe this year's produce on last year's produce. or vice versa. So too when it comes to animals. This year's batch, I don't know what the word is, right? The animals born this year cannot be used to tithe last year's batch, which have two nafkaminas. First of all, it will mean that if you had, let's say, for example, only 5 sheep born to you this year and 5 sheep born to you last year and 5 the next year, you'll never actually get any ma'aser behema, because 5 will go into the crown, 5 will come out. You wouldn't do the crown, so to speak, but the point is you'll never have a 10th one to mark. So that's the first nafkamina. They're not mitzaref. You can't add years together. So in other words, if 5 animals to you were born before Aleph El and the 5 were born after Aleph El, so then you'd never give any Meister Behemoth because you never had 10 animals in a single year. Second reason is so that you can't do this year's on last year's. In other words, so if you had, for example, 10 born before Aleph El and 10 born after Aleph El, you couldn't just put all 20 in a corral and take, you know, number 10, number 20 out. You have to keep them separate because this year's can't be on last year's and vice versa. No, each is its own. So you'll have your sheep and your goats and your cows. Now, the reason why, according to this Tana here, that it's the first of Elul Dafka, is because it's connected to Maaser Dagan, tithing of your grain. And just like when you tithe grain, the calendar year for the grain crop depends on like when the whole harvesting is done. And that's actually Aleph Tishrei. We'll see in a second. The point is, by the end of the summer, Aleph Tishrei, there's nothing else growing in the fields. Everything's dried up, and it's already Chagah. It's coming. You're gathering in, and therefore nothing's going to sprout until, you know, next Nisan time, whatever it'll be. And therefore, the end of the year happens when like all the crops are done. So this Tana holds, well, all the animals are basically finished giving birth also by the end of the summer. But Aleph Elul already, nothing new is going to be born, normally speaking. So he holds that as a cutoff date. That's the end of the normal batch of livestock giving birth. They give birth in the spring and in the summer, early summer. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim Be'echad B'Tishrei. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, they say that the first date for your fiscal year, let's say for Maaser Behema, is actually the first of Tishrei. Then Machlokas is, since we're connecting it back to Maaser Dagan, they say just as Maaser Dagan is the first of Tishrei, so too Maaser Behema is the first of Tishrei. Don't get so theoretical and say when the crop's over and the batch of animals being born is over. So they learn exactly. That's the machlokas there. If you learn how, so to speak, how seriously you take the hekesh between Maaser Dagan, tithing of your grain, and tithing the animals. Okay. Now that means, by the way, keep that in track, that means that according to Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, they don't hold that the first of El is a Rosh Hashanah. So they're also missing one from their list. Okay? Fine. The fourth in our list here is Be'echad B'Tishrei, the first of Tishrei, which is what we call Rosh Hashanah. And we'll see now that actually there are going to be 5 different things that the fiscal year, or the calendar year, begins on the first of Tishrei. Now that won't be 5 different Rosh Hashanahs. The Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei. Just there are 5 factors, 5 halachic avenues that are relevant to the first of Tishrei. Okay? First of all, Be'echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanah. It's the first of the year for years. The Bar Tanura learns that we're referring to here to again counting shtaros, you know, dating contracts based not on Jewish kings but on non-Jewish kings. So if the Jews were under the dominion of a non-Jewish king, they would date their calendar and date their shtaros based on the first of Tishrei being like the same principle. If the king took office in Elul, so then the first of Tishrei comes. Now it begins the second year. That's what the Batner learns. There is another Shita, another Amora, who learns that the chart here is this is the date on which the whole year is decided. You know, the pasuk says that Hashem judges the whole year from the beginning to the end, and he holds this is the beginning of the year. So this is the date for where the whole year is decided. That's how one Tana learns the Shanim. That's the first of 5 factors that happened on Aleph Tishrei. The second is the Shemitim. Shemitim is Shemitah. We learned that before. Nesachas Shvias, we learned. So Shemitah is, everyone knows, the Isser of working your land in the 7th year. That goes, the 7 years keep on counting. Everyone's, they've experienced them. We had one in 2008. It was the last Shemitah year we had here. So that's a tough Shidin. Samach Ches was the last one. So, although if you recall, there's actually machlokus about Tosefes Shvias. I don't know if you remember Reb Shmuel or Reb Akiva. We learned about if this Shvias Shmita starts before or not. We pasken like that Shvias is the Tosefes Shvias, the Shvia the month early, is halachal Moshe Sinai, but only applies on the base of Mikdash Zah. Either way, everyone agrees that Midoraisa, the Iker Shvia, starts on the first day of Tishrei. So there are actually two things: as the Shemitah's Karka, leaving the land fallow, not working it, not harvesting it, not reaping it, those four malachim, if you recall. There's a second issue of Shemitah's Ksafim, of forgiving of loans. So that both kicks in on Shemitah. When does that happen? So according to most, that all is going to happen at the beginning of the year. Although if you remember, there were Rishon who learned that Shemitah's Ksafim happens at the end of the year. But anyways, Shemitah's Karka for sure, and according to many, Shemitah's Ksafim kick in Shemitah year, and so the seventh year begins on the Aleph Tishrei. Okay. That's that. The third is V'leYovelos. Yovel is the Jubilee year in English. The way we paskin is a machlokas, but the way we paskin is after seven cycles of seven Shemitahs, so it's 7 times 7, 49, then we paskin it's a machlokas, but the 50th year is the Jubilee, is the Yovel year. Okay? Now, we don't have Yovel today. The reason why is because Yovel's continuance on the Jews being in Israel and actually being in their proper, territory, the Shvatim, in their proper encampments. They're not in the proper regional locations, which doesn't exist today. Okay? If it would, let's say, for example, for argument's sake, today kick in, Mashiach comes in today, and everyone gets back in the land, and everyone gets back where they're supposed to be in the country, so then this will be the first of the seven Shemitah years, the first of the seven sets of seven. Yeah, first of the set of sevens, but the clock won't reset, so to speak. Shemitah will still be again in 2015, right? And even though, so for argument's sake, we're in the third year now, but we are in the third year out of seven. So it won't be 50 years from today. If Mashiach comes today, it will actually be missing a couple of years. Understand? Yovel will still come at the end of the seventh, the year after the seventh Shemitah from now. Even though it'll be, say, 47 years from now. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah? So that's just how Yovel works. Yovel
Shemitah, that's the next Shemitah, will be the first one.
The first of the seven. That's right. I'm just saying, Shemitah is always every 7 years, like clockwork. Exactly. We'll be missing 50 years from today if Mashiach came today. That's what I'm pointing out. Okay. Now, Yovel's Nogea for a number of halachas. First of all, you have to blow the shofar on the 10th of Tishrei, on Yom Kippur, and then all slaves go free. And also, but already from the 1st of Tishrei, the slaves aren't supposed to be worked anymore. And also, the lands, ancestral lands, go back to their previous owners. Maybe we've seen a little bit of this before. We talked about Ari Bat Nechoma not going back. If you remember, the walled cities don't revert back. If they're sold after a year, if you have a year opening, then it's too late. But other plots of land, once after Yovel, everything reverts back to how it used to be. So that's the second thing. So you have the slaves go free, the property comes back on the Yovel year. Three things, and this is the Tekiah Shofar, the Chiv of the Shofar, the Mitzvah. The fourth thing is that Yovel essentially is like a Shemitah year. In other words, the land is also lies fallow, you can't work it. However, Shemitah's Ksafim, relinquishing of loans, does not apply in the Yovel year. Okay, so just so you should, that's the difference there.
As a matter of fact, our blowing Shofar on Yom Kippur, at the end of Yom Kippur,
it's a zeicha to this.
Right.
Good. The fourth of the five things that happen on Aleph Tishrei is the Natiya. Natiya means saplings. If you remember, the word eitz is a tree, but there are two subcategories of trees, if you will. We have Natios, which are like freshly, newly planted trees, saplings, and we have Ilanos, which are mature trees. I don't know if you recall from Shvias, and Sefer Shvias also was a machlokas. How long is something called a Natiya for? There's three of machlokas. One shita was achiyacholu, and so you can eat the fruit, i.e. after the first 3 years are orla, and then the first 3 years are orla. The fourth year is you remember, it's netza ravai, that has to be taken to Jerusalem, like Maaseh Sheni, eaten over there. And then the first shita was achiyacholu, once you've redeemed the produce in the fourth year and it can be eaten, then already it's shifts from being a natia, a sapling, to being an ilan, a mature tree. And the second shita was 7 years, and the third shita, Rabbi Kiva, said kishma, natia is kishma, like whatever people call it a sapling, it's a sapling, which actually we had two pshatim, the Bar Tanur brought, either its first year, or as long as people call it a sapling. We pass like Rabbi Kiva, you know, it's a machlokas, exactly what that means. So here, linatia means when you have new, young trees, their birthday, if you will, is not measured from the day you plant them, but from Rosh Hashanah Al Tishrei to Al Tishrei. So, if you harken back, there was a few more details on this. The point was that although if you plant a tree today, its birthday, so to speak, isn't going to be on Rosh Chodesh El, the first Chodesh El, the last day of Av, it will be on the first of Tishrei. But there's a big but there. It's not really true, because if you recall, that's what you would think. But if you recall, you need to have this one of the psukim. You need to have 30 days of in the ground having taken root before it can be considered a full year. And since now we won't have 30 days anymore until it's taken root, it won't actually be counted anymore as a full year when Al Tishrei comes. There's a machlokas, I don't know if you recall, a three machlokas, how long it has to be in the ground for. We paskin that needs 2 weeks, that from when you plant the seed or till when it's niklat, till it takes root, is 2 weeks, 14 days. There was another shita, 30 days, another shita, it was 3 days, it's also in Shvias, actually. So we paskin 14 days, which means you need to have 30 days in the ground, plus the previous 14 days are required to take root before it's considered to be planted in the ground. So in other words, you won't be able to have the tree hit its second year in terms of orla. Remember the 3 year, you need 3 years of where it's, the food is inedible, unless you planted it, according to how we paskin, on Tu B'Av, 45 days before Rosh Hashanah. Right, 30 days plus 14 days is 44. There's one more day previous before that day. So on Tu B'Av is your last chance to plant, to have your tree hit its second year in terms of the halachas of Orla, so the fruit produce won't be, that's 3 years of prohibited produce, and that's revived in the fourth year, unless you planted 45 days before, so it's too late now. So if you plant your tree today, as the machlokas were shown exactly how you count from starting now, but let's just say it's miyom liyom, for argument's sake, or its birthday will be on the 30th day of next year. But there are other shitas. But normally, anything that's planted previous to the 45th day before it, Tu B'Av, will have it become its second year for Orla once Al Tishrei happens. And that's what's nogea here, in terms of the Nelatia.
So if you planted it now, then it's not until Rosh Hashanah next year.
Some won't be till Rosh Hashanah next year. Yeah, either, but it won't be having become 2 years old till like Rosh Hashanah next year. I had 13 months. Some are actually it's an uber year. It'll be 14 months time, and some learn it'll hit its second year, Mishana Lashana, on the 30th day of. Either way, exactly right. Now we're looking at a protracted year, a full year required to be considered in the ground. Fine, that's that. Now there's a bit of a funny discrepancy here, which we'll see in a moment. That for Ilanos, that's another Rosh Hashanah. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It's Tu B'Shvat. We'll see inside the details. The point is that there can be a few months, a number of months between Aleph Tishrei. In Ilan is a mature tree, so there'll be a number of months between Aleph Tishrei and Shvat where the Rosh Hashanah hasn't hit for the Ilanos, the mature trees yet. And for produce, just this is the point I'm getting at. For when it comes to tree fruits. It's year, it's vintage, is based on the chanata of the fruit, which is translated as blossoming always. It's not a great translation, I don't have a better one for you. It means when the little bit of the fruit is discernible, which is not exactly blossoming, usually when the flowers first appear, but the only later on when the flowers are ready to fall away and the fruiting body is there, it's considered chanata. But in any case, so if a tree... A tree won't be considered like an apple tree if it brings forth fruit in its fourth year. It'll only be considered fourth year fruit in our orla if the chanata happens after Tu B'Shvat, not after Al Tishrei. So it's like a funny ambiguity there. But anyways, okay, so that's that. That's the fourth of the five things that happen in Al Tishrei. It's a new year for natios, for saplings. And the fifth is the yirakos. Okay, for yirakos are vegetables. This is nogea. Okay, when it comes to fruits from a tree, you determine its vintage based on when the chanata happens, when the little fruit becomes discernible. When it comes to vegetables, as we've seen back in Zeroim, its vintage is when you pull it out of the ground, lakita, when you pull it out. So in other words, because potatoes can sit in the ground for a long time, or turnips, whatever, sit in the ground a long time. When you decide to harvest it, that's its year. Not when it first appeared on the ground, of course, but when you pull it out of the ground. So if you pull out your turnips, and it's before Rosh, the first of Tishrei. I'm turning the AC on. There's Han here, right? I don't think it is on.
It says on.
Oh, yeah? If you're comfortable, I'm... I don't know. I think it's hot in here. Whatever. I don't think it's hot when I speak, but... Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was on. It was on. Okay, maybe just... Maybe turn it on a little higher. Well, and I was turning it... Instead of the thermostat, keep the thermostat at 24, whatever it was, but... Yeah, instead of... Whatever. I was just thinking, yeah, up in the vent. Anyways. Okay. That's what I was suggesting. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So when it comes to Iraqos, the birthday, the vintage of the vegetables when it gets pulled out the ground. Now, that's nogea for a few halachas. First of all, just like we talked about Maishad Dagan, harvesting your grain, so this is what we're talking about, you can't tie this year's on last year's. So you need to determine which year it belongs to. When it comes to vegetables, you can grow vegetables essentially the whole year long. So you need to have some cutoff where the calendar's ended, and now this year's turnips are only going to be tied with this year's turnips and last year's and last year's turnips. You can't be mitzvah of them. You can't take, you know, a pun of turnips from this year and a pun of the rest from last year, put them together, and then take tithe them both as one unit. You have to keep them separate. The second issue, which we're probably more familiar with, more memorable anyways, is that in the seven-year cycle, if you go and it comes to Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani, it depends what year you're in. In years one and two, you have Meiser Sheni, that food goes to Jerusalem, the second tithe. And in the third year, it's Meiser Ani, that instead of going to Jerusalem, the second tithe goes to the poor people in your neighborhood. So what determines if this turnip is a third year or a second year? It depends when you pluck it out the ground. If you pluck it out, turn it out the ground after all of Tishrei, then it's in the later year instead of on the former year. So that's what it is for Iraqos. Fine. So those are the five things in the list that have a Rosh Chodesh on Aleph Tishrei. And now we have not to get confused, the fifth of the five Rosh Hashanahs listed in the Mishnah, where it says Be'echad B'Shvat, on the fifth day of Shvat. The first day of Shvat. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, it's the first new year for the trees. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai. So Rosh Aleph Shvat, according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Omrim, B'chamisha Sarbo, on the 15th, which is how we pass it, of course. This is Nogea also, for the halachas of Trumas and Maaseres, right, when the thing came forth, as well as I told you before, in terms of when the Chanata happened, determine if it's a Revai or a fifth year. And also, you can't tithe this year's on last year's produce, so similar. Those are the five Rosh Hashanah listed in the Mishnah. So I'll just review them to you again, and we'll make a judgment here. So we had Aleph Nisan, the first of Nisan, which is for the Malachim, for Jewish kings. We had 15th of Nisan, that was for Baal Ta'acher, of delaying committing your netter. And we had, that's a second, we had Aleph Elul, that's for Maisa Behemoth, the first of Elul. Made a machlokus there. If you recall, I should have spoken out a second ago, sorry, that when it came to the second one, the 15th of Nisan, for Baal Ta'acher, delaying your filling of your vow, that Reb Meir didn't hold of. So he's lacking this one. And then the next one, of Meiser Behema, the first of Elul, again, Reb Shimon and Reb Lazar didn't hold of that one. So they're missing, Reb Meir's missing one, and Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon are missing one. And then the fourth one is Aleph Tishrei, all those things, we listen, including Rosh Hashanah, and then and Shvat, either Aleph or two. The Shvat is the fifth. Right. So the question is why there are five, if there's only four in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says there are four. So the answer given is that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi actually held the five, but he didn't want to start a fight, so he said, at least everyone agrees to me that there's at least four. Reb Meir holds there four, he just missed, right? And Reb Shimon holds there's four. So that is the answer. Okay? That's the first Mishnah.